And finally, to close our show, Hannah has our question of the week.
This week, we zoom in and try and get our brains around this.
My name's John, and I'm calling from Belfast. I'd like to know why MRI imaging is so low quality. Why are the images so blurry? And how long will it be before we can get accurate, sharp imaging of the brain and the tissues inside the head for correct diagnosis of diseases?
So whilst it might appear that MRI, or magnetic resonance imaging, pictures are blurry, in fact, they are not. As Paul Thompson, Professor of Neurology at University of Southern California, explains.
Right now, the scans we use in a hospital can see small strokes and blood vessels as small as 1 millimetre in diameter. The detail is terrific, and brain scans can help diagnose cancer and Alzheimer's disease. The detail you can see depends on how long the patient can sit still in the scanner. It can take 5 to 10 minutes to get a brain scan, and we can check parts of the brain involved in memory, language, and emotions. With a method called functional MRI, we can also see which parts of the brain are active while you're looking at a picture or speaking. Normally, it's hard to sit still for more than about 10 minutes, so scientists are working on faster methods to speed up brain scans and get more detail.
So even though we can use MRI to take detailed pictures of brain structures, functional, or fMRI, looks at the activity of different brain areas by measuring how much oxygen they are using. But because the brain is moving and many measurements are taken over a period of time, the activity maps that fMRI produces tends to be of lower resolution, which might explain why John refers to the images as being blurry. So what about imaging to diagnose brain disorders?
Brain scans are often used in a hospital to see if a person's brain is damaged, if they've been in an accident, or if they have memory loss that could be a sign of Alzheimer's disease. Also, if a person has a stroke or a brain tumour, we can see clearly what parts of the brain are affected, and we can see if a treatment is helping. Brain scans can also be used to plan a surgery that takes out a brain tumour while protecting the rest of the brain.
And Paul is also part of one of the largest brain studies in the world. Called the Enigma Project, 307 scientists have scanned 27,000 people's brains, including individuals with psychiatric conditions. And the results suggest that brain scans, like MRI, could be useful for distinguishing between schizophrenia, bipolar, and depression in the future. And these disorders can sometimes be hard to tell apart clinically. So this finding may help to diagnose people sooner so that they can receive the correct treatments early on. Thanks to John for the question and Paul for the answer. Now, keeping our brains alert, Hazel Barraclough wrote in with this.
Hi there. Can you tell me why it is that when lightning strikes the sea or any other large body of water, it doesn't kill the fish? Many thanks.
So why don't we see floating electrocuted fish following a thunderstorm?
A fishy problem. If you know why, email chris@thenakedscientist.com. You can Facebook us at Naked Scientists or get in touch with us via Twitter. We're at Naked Scientists.
Now to our teaser this week. We asked you at the beginning of the programme, if a norovirus were inflated to the size of a grapefruit, how big would the corresponding human victim end up being? Well, many of you have speculated on the scales of planets. We've even heard a late entrant from James Carrington on Twitter who says, roughly the size of the moon? Well, you're not far adrift, because here's how it breaks down. A norovirus is about 30 nanometres across. That's 1/30,000th of a millimetre, give or take. A grapefruit's, what, 10 centimetres, which is about 100 millimetres. So if you times 100 millimetres by 1/30,000th of a millimetre, that means you've basically made your norovirus about 3 million times bigger in order to become grapefruit size. So your human, given an average human being 2 metres tall, would therefore be 6 million metres tall, or 6,000 kilometres, which is roughly the same as the radius of the Earth. That's it for this week. Thank you very much to our guests, Ian Goodfellow, Lydia Drumwright, Rachel Thaxter and Keith McNeil. Thanks to Kat Arney for joining me and to Kate Lamble for production. Next time we're going to be at the Cambridge Science Centre for a live show where we'll be discussing robotics, including artificial intelligence and how machines can understand human language, plus how we use robots to explore outer space. Send your questions in if you have any to chris@thenakedscientist.com. The Naked Scientist is supported by the Wellcome Trust, the EPSRC and the STFC. My name's Chris Smith. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.